All these presenters, they leave these studios in such a mess. Never bother to do a bit of cleaning up themselves.
Hello. Oh, you haven't finished yet. Honestly, all this tidying up and dusting and polishing and vacuuming and scrubbing, it's exhausting just to watch you.
Men, huh?
Oh dear. Hello, I'm Frederick Dove, and you join me in what is, I'm glad to say, a spotlessly clean Outlook studio, where later we'll be discussing why it is that men seem to have a biological aversion to doing more housework. Also in the programme, we join in the celebration of an activity for which men seem to have a biological affinity. It's hunting.
Thousands of hunters are here. Their mud cloth outfits are weighted down with leather pouches, spelling magic and mystery. One hunter keeps the crowd and this journalist at bay by wrestling with his pet hyena.
It's a laugh a minute at West Africa's first ever festival for traditional hunters, as we find out shortly. But we start with... Sirens and gunshots ring out in celebration in Bamako, the capital of Mali, at West Africa's first ever festival of traditional hunters. Armed with their trusty hunting guns, thousands of men and a few women arrived in Bamako from several neighbouring countries to revive the spirit of the traditional hunter, said to control all manner of mystical forces. Joan Baxter went along to attend the festival's grand climax.
It's a hot, steep walk up the long, winding road that leads to the presidential palace in Bamako. It's perched atop a cliff, overlooking this capital of one of the world's poorest countries. For obvious reasons, this splendid white palace is usually heavily guarded and not open to hordes of armed men from dusty villages of mud huts. But today, the palace gates are open. The magnificent gardens are taking quite a trampling. Thousands of hunters are here. Their mud cloth outfits are weighted down with leather pouches, spelling magic and mystery. Their headgear is adorned with bits of mirrors, seashells, even animal horns. One hunter keeps the crowd and this journalist at bay by wrestling with his pet hyena. Others do what they've been doing day and night for a week, shooting off their homemade guns. Nervous officials rush about, urging the hunters to refrain from taking pot shots at the heavens when they're parading in front of Mali's president, Alpha Omar Konare. Speaking in Bambara, the president welcomes the hunters from the far-flung corners of Mali and four other West African countries. It's quite a party, but for some, it all looks like a costly extravaganza in a country where basic schooling is a luxury. Besides, many people here say they fear the hunters.
Really, they are dangerous. The hunters here in Mali, when they go into the bush and there is danger, for example, a lion wants to attack any hunter, the hunter have the powers to change to a lion. So the lion cannot harm them. They have even an instrument called ngoni. When they are playing this, there are some sort of dances which, if you are not powerful, you don't have the right to dance. When you dance it, you see yourself nowhere in this world again. So they are very dangerous. I will even call it a witchcraft.
The hunters themselves do not deny their supernatural powers. Boubacar Diara.
Même moi, tout de suite là, moi, j'ai des gris-gris.
Right now, I've got lots of gri-gri, that's juju, on my mud cloth. If I go into a village to kill a dangerous animal, I can't just rely on a gun. You also need charms to protect you from snakes and lions in the bush. If you have gri-gri like mine, snakes and lions can't touch you.
When I asked Diara if I needed to be afraid of him, he laughed. He said hunters like himself have special juju to protect themselves from the real dangers, women.
Bon, les affaires de jour sont jour quoi. Je peux dire ça carrément.
It has to do with their monthly cycles, if you permit me to say so. If you come into contact with a woman having her period, it can really damage things. So our hunting master has this huge clay pot filled with water and all kinds of plant medicines inside. He gives it to us to protect us, so we can come and go without fear.
For a different perspective on the hunters, and to give my ears a rest from the shooting and drumming, I made my way across the river to the much quieter Congress Palace in Bamako. Here I found scholars from three continents discussing the cultural meaning of traditional hunting in West Africa. Teraba Togula, Director of Arts and Culture in Mali.
Hunting is a very big tradition in West Africa. It goes back probably to several thousand years. If you look at rock art in the Sahara Desert, you know, you can see hunting scene, you know, painted on rock. This tradition is coming back from really the deep of time. And people see only behind hunting game, but it's beyond that. It's a culture, it's a civilization. I mean, it's a way of life. I mean, it's really also knowledge about, you know, the bush, knowledge about the stars, knowledge about, for example, some of the planets around us. So it's really much, much, really bigger.
In this academic setting, hunters are not feared as they are on the streets of Bamako. Scholars like Sheikh Keita, a Malian university professor based in the United States, seemed in awe of the traditional hunters.
The hunter is a very complete person. The hunter is the mediator between the known world, which is the village, what that we call so is the home, and the outside of society, which is the wula, which is the bush, where things are unpredictable. It is the world of the invisible and the dangerous and the unknown. So therefore, the hunter develops the ability to mediate between the two by his constant going in and out, okay? He has to be able, with his own incantations, to speak that secret language.
Teraba Togola says the hunter societies cut across the rigid social classes in Mali. The nobles, the people of caste, and former slaves. Status, which is decided at birth.
It's like a secret society. I mean, it's really like a community. And the community is open to everybody, regardless to where you're coming from, regardless to which caste you belong to. It's really open to everybody. And then the first person who joined the community is really higher in hierarchy. You know, if you're young, you let's say 10 years old, you join before your father, you know, you will be hierarchically on top of your father.
That's very un-African.
It's very un-African. I mean, it's really, I mean, I would say it's really the beginning of a democracy.
But if hunter societies were democratic and open to everybody, where were all the women? Professor Keita told me he was surprised to see that a few women hunters were present. But he says the female figure has always been important for hunters.
Traditionally, women have always played a role in the life of a hunter. Whatever power they had, it was always the mother. Even if you listen to the myths and the hunter's epic stories, there is always the female figure, who in fact goes into the bush in different forms, whether as an animal or in a kind of magical form, when the hunter is in danger. But today, to see with my own eyes, you know, women hunters, to me, was just a revelation.
For the most part, the festival avoided the sensitive issue of conservation. But even as hunters from Niger were celebrating in Bamako, back home their own government banned all hunting. In the past 2 decades, West Africa has been invaded by wealthy trophy hunters from the Middle East and Europe, who pay hefty sums to shoot a lion or an elephant, decimating the wildlife. Teraba Togola says traditional hunters are not the culprits.
I don't think, you know, we can blame the hunters for having killed all the animals, I mean, in the bush. For one thing, for a very long time, you know, they didn't have a very sophisticated hunting implement. If you have only bow and arrows, I don't think we really can kill big animals, you know. So what's really being, what should be blamed is also the development of domesticated animals like cow competing in a bush, for example, for food, and the game don't like that.
Do you think there's still a role for hunters in West African society?
Yes, because if you don't restrict the role of the hunters to hunting animals, they are also healers. You know, they can make divinations, you know, they also know the bush very well. For example, when the war is going on, the hunter will want to find a hiding place for the whole population.
Recently, in a country like Sierra Leone, we've seen the Hunters Society get involved in modern conflict.
It's not only in Sierra Leone, even in Ivory Coast and the southern part of Mali, you know, because when people feel feared, you know, and there will be a lot of stealing going on, there will be a lot of robbery going on, you know, it's only the hunters can really solve these kind of problems. So, I mean, you know, there's still a role for them.
The festival was supposed to define a new role for traditional hunters in West Africa. But not everyone in Bamako liked that idea. One Malian journalist, not at all impressed, described the hunters as animists and infidels. Others saw sinister political overtones. They alleged that the president was forging an ominous alliance with the hunters' societies, noting that in Africa these days, it is not unusual for politicians to use hunters as a paramilitary force. One observer said politicians were busy deforming the hunters' role as caretakers of the people. But back at the presidential palace in Bamako, there was no sign of any rebels. The hunters were having a ball, and so far, my close encounter with all those powerful fetishes and spirits seems to have left me unharmed. Ooh, la, la. Although I think after all the shooting, my hearing may never be the same.
A song bemoaning how trophy hunters from the Middle East have decimated wildlife in Mali, ending that report from Bamako by Joan Baxter. This is the BBC World Service.